Okay, with this session, essentially we're going to do Q&A and some demonstrations. Initially, to start it off, what I might do, as Michael suggested, was just mention the Open Document Fellowship. How many people here have actually seen that, know about it, or even heard of it other than before Michael mentioned it? Anyone? No one? Really?
Terrible,
isn't it? And like you said, for such a good website. The Open Document Fellowship was set up basically to promote the open document format. It's not to promote openoffice.org as such. It's to promote the format itself, so it doesn't matter whether you're using Windows, Linux, Mac, OS 2, whatever, if it's got the software. And it doesn't matter what Office application you're using, whether it's KOffice or OpenOffice or StarOffice or whatever, as long as it supports the open document format, that's essentially what they're about. There's members all around the world involved in that. I believe the membership is still at the moment open to invitation, so you are able to go there, suggest your name, and people will say, yes, we think that's a good option, and you'll become members of that. The website is great, as Michael said, purely from an informational point of view. If you need to get information about what open document format is, what software is supported, that supports it at the moment, press releases that are happening, who to contact, all that sort of stuff, very easily found on the fellowship website. So it's simply www.opendocumentfellowship.org. So if you go there, there's plenty of information there. So continuing on with the next session, what we'll do, if you have a question about OpenOffice, you have a problem that you'd like solved, we hope that we can help with that. So what we'll do to start with is just go through and get some questions and just get a list up, and then we might look at working through some of those. And we also have some demonstrations happening. One in particular will be Open Document Viewer is now available on Symbian mobile phone, and that will be demonstrated here today. And maybe talk about some of the other possibilities that are coming up in the near future as well. So let's get things started, I guess. Someone needs to take the mic around.
Open Office comes with free air conditioning these days. Water cooled. This isn't a question so much, but Ben Martin here? He isn't. Is anyone familiar with LibFerris? LibFerris is a library which takes an arbitrary hierarchical format and turns it into a... Through LibFerris, it can be mounted as a file system. So, for example, you can take data in a hierarchical SQL database or an LDAP repository or an XML file and view that as if each node in the, as each branch in the XML file was a directory and each leaf in that XML file was a file within that directory. It also supports some neat over-the-top of that type tools. For example, it can unzip or pass through ziplib the XML file as it goes into and out of that file system. And then as every individual leaf in that file is treated as a separate file, it can be individually locked opened, closed, read, written to, and that is transparent for reading and writing. And I think people that understand the ODF file system or ODF file structure by now would understand where I'm coming from, in that you can now have a single ODF document that appears as multiple files distributed across a file system, and each one can be individually by a user opened, read, written to. Now, your leaves in an open document file system are essentially the paragraphs in your document, just going to the writer style of document, leaving spreadsheets and things aside for the time being. So if you were to modify the OpenOffice front-end interface so that instead of opening a file, caching it in memory, and writing the file when it's finished, you opened the document, locked a paragraph at a time, wrote that paragraph back to its file when it was finished, closed it when you moved on to the next paragraph. Essentially, you would then have a network-wide ability for multiple people to edit the same document at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a... collaborative document editing. A little bit of a holy grail. It's something that a lot of word processors have tried and failed to do over the years, you know, going back to XYWrite, which was a DOS-based word processor many, many years ago that had a basic form of that capability, but it never really worked properly. We've been doing some experimentation in-house. I'm just wondering whether anyone in the OpenOffice community has ever spent any time looking at that. I know some of the people inside Sun had a brief look at it and said, yes, this is really fantastic, but we don't have the people to do it at the moment. So I'm wondering where you would actually go to build that sort of capability into OpenOffice.
Okay.
In terms of tackling it, you know, I'm not really a member of the OpenOffice community as such. I mean, I'm a user of OpenOffice and I do documents in it, but I'm not an OpenOffice developer.
Yeah. Probably one of the first things that will be looked at in that sense is a cross-platform. So if it only works under Linux, for example, then it's obviously got a far less chance of getting into the OpenOffice source code because it'll only work for a part of their audience, essentially. If it's open source, that will be more useful because even if it's only implemented under Linux, at least there's a chance it'll be ported across to Linux, to Windows as well.
My understanding is it's in C, it's cross-platform, it's open source.
Right.
Ben Martin, who's in Queensland, I believe, is the primary developer behind LibFerris.
Yeah.
And he's a university student. He's released everything under either the GPL or the LGPL, one of the two.
Yeah. They'd be the main ones to look at in considering it. Like you said, probably the biggest blockage there would be who can actually do it, because usually your experts in a particular field, such as LibFerris, have no idea about how OpenOffice source code works and how that's integrated.
Yeah, I think that's the primary difficulty in that we need to get the LibFerris, the people that understand LibFerris and the people that understand OpenOffice on the same page, basically.
There are people within the OpenOffice development groups, though, that are interested in collaboration efforts for OpenOffice.org, sharing documents, all that sort of thing. So they would probably be the most likely people to approach because they start out with having good knowledge of the source code and, you know, they have to learn a smaller project, essentially. It'll be much harder to take Ben from knowing the LibFerris very well to integrate into OpenOffice if he's never seen the source code before. The only other issue I could possibly see with that would be particularly under Linux, for example, where you may have any number of different types of file systems, which in one way could be an advantage but could also lead to possible more bugs with how that works. But certainly a good idea, and anything that allows sharing collaboration, I'm sure people will find useful. What we'll do, if they're simple questions, we'll just write up a list and get the list going, and then we'll have a look at some of the demos while we just consider some of the questions.
You give me that question in a couple of words.
essentially sharing documents using LibFerris. LibFerris. Okay. So the request there was an extension on that, which to me sounds pretty much like could we implement collaboration and sharing using a Web2 based architecture. Does that pretty much sum up what you're after? Okay.
Well, yeah, development with OpenOffice, obviously doing the conversion. So a couple of questions. Firstly, most of these relate to collaboration in terms of development. Is there a tutorial or strong documentation for using and interfacing with UNO, which is the OpenOffice API, I guess, if you will? It seems to be a black art at the moment. And I haven't been able to find many resources. I mean, I'm ideally looking for an idiot's guide to doing stuff using UNO API. Is there plans to do some documentation in this regard in the future? The next question I have, is there a UNO documentation / tutorial? Plans for standardization of the source tree? At the moment, it seems to be a lot of different languages and a lot of different styles, and I'm thinking it's going to be a gigantuan effort. But is there an effort to looking towards making the source tree more maintainable and a bit easier? And finally, this is a question: what is the current overarching development direction for OpenOffice? What kinds of things are you guys going to be doing further down the track? I mean, obviously, as far as I can see, the suite seems to be reasonably stable. You've got good support for ODF and so on and so forth. Where are we going 6 months, 12 months, long term?
Yep.
What are the plans?
Okay.
There we go. Hooray. Next question.
Any other questions?
I've done a bit of research on that, and that'll be picked up in my talk this afternoon on the software development kit. And I've also done a contingency presentation on UNO, which can perhaps go during the Q&A or if I squeeze it into my session this afternoon. So that'll get you started. Plus, I've got some documentation in my... Put my suitcase there with some documentation in it that you can have a look at as well. Yeah. That's right. Peter Milne from Wellington, New Zealand. Just a quick question on evangelisation of OpenOffice. Microsoft's document standard has been the same for about 10 years. We've now got Vista coming along, new standard. People attending say, look, you're just going to have to get used to the new standard, upgrade and everything else. What sort of response can we have from OpenOffice? The sharpest thing, I'm trying to convert our minister and our church to OpenOffice.
Okay. So essentially there we're looking at open document format and, I guess, future development, how standards will stay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I assume that one of the aims of OpenOffice is to get further into the enterprise. Now, one of the problems that I can see with that is that many companies use Microsoft Office as a platform and build things on top of it in Visual Basic and so forth, some of them having entire reporting suites built into Excel, for example. I'm just wondering if anyone has any ideas as to how to work around that or what the direction of OpenOffice is with that.
Okay. I'd suggest wording that as third-party plugins or add-ons. That's one of the demonstrations that we're going to be having. So, there's certainly a lot of interest in that area at the moment. We have another question.
I think I had the water tip down my back this time. What's wrong?
I have no water.
Dear idea. Just to follow on from that, there is a market for companies to get into the business of converting those toolkits and platforms and tools that have been built on top of the Microsoft Office product to OpenOffice. I have several clients that have said, you know, we want to adopt OpenOffice. We're looking at a new, you know, document suite rollout the next 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, whatever. What company can you send us to that we can pay the money to convert our current toolset from, you know, VBA, Excel, whatever, to OpenOffice?
Okay.
They're prepared to pay for that sort of work to be done because they recognise that there's a cost saving in, you know, not spending the big dollars on, you know, Microsoft Office version Vista, and so a lot of that cost saving can go into that development of those conversion. Not necessarily converting a conversion toolkit, but, you know, some consultants to come in and do that conversion work for them on an ad hoc basis.
Yeah, so essentially commercial conversion.
Absolutely. There is a consumer demand out there for it.
Okay. Well, we might just leave the questions there for a sec. First up, I might get Bill Robertson to demo his mobile. While he's getting prepared for that, I might just look at answering a couple of these because some of them tie together and some of them don't. So some of the easier ones here. Development direction was one. What is OpenOffice looking at doing for future type development? One of the main areas is definitely cleaning up the source code, as someone asked about. That's a very big project that has already been mentioned. So there's a lot of work involved there tying it all together. The other one is with the... I just went silent. Oh, because I'm connected to the other one, obviously. Yep. No, still nothing. Hello, hello. I've gone. Hello? Oh, that's it. Okay. So source is obviously an important area. In the past, some of the more important features that they were looking at was what does Microsoft Office offer people that we don't have? Because that's where most of the questions were coming from. Office does this, why doesn't OpenOffice do that? So that was a lot of the previous development was done based on that. There are new developments that are being done, things like XForm support being added into it, along with that Web2 type mindset behind it. There will be some much bigger advancements in the future with that. Obviously, one of the big ones that people are interested in is the new charting engine for Excel, which will now be in 3.0. It basically supersedes anything that was in the Excel one that was the comparison before. So that's one that a lot of people are looking out for. But in the 10, 20 year type scenario, essentially they're looking at making a product that's usable by everyone, that's available freely and will supply the needs of the people at that particular point in time. And because they're using the ADF open document format and open source, they're much more able to cope with that and able to change it as people's needs change in that sense. One good example of that is with the new version of Microsoft Office 2007. With their change in interface, they're using what they call a ribbon style of menu, which is different to the traditional view. So a lot of people are now questioning whether they want to actually upgrade to Office 2007, because it will mean a much bigger training or retraining of staff there compared to just simply switching over to OpenOffice, which has very similar interface to what it does at the moment. So looks like Bill's ready to give a demo there, so we might switch back over to him. Yeah. Hello? That's okay. Just give him the mic. Hello? Yes.
where we can actually have spreadsheets version 1 allows you to actually just view open document format, spreadsheets, presentations, work writing documents. The version 1.1 was all about getting signed by Sydney, so that it can actually operate within the emails and actually, for a little type of story, but the way not really things work, getting face document and actually open within them and then allow the property. Version, the later version they're looking at, which they're looking at implementing, PDF export straight from the viewer. So that's something that we're interested in, so for example, on the business side. One of the things we did when we standardised on OpenOffice, what we really did was standardise on OpenDocument, and before that, the OASIS XML. Our early work showed that converting backwards and forwards, as you guys know, the conversion is always awesome. We made a very strong decision that we were actually worked towards open standards. The open source side was really nice, but a bit obsessive about that. Actually, you know, quite reasonable in terms of a very early version of the viewer. Later on, Mac, this was done by Tech Solutions in Germany. Mac the latest development that was doing PDF export, they're also looking at finding how to print the documents from the time of the using new book features and the like, and then later versions. This is the document system, which is a push email. This came out of our internal Blackberry project. The new Microsoft Office is proprietary and started investigating Blackberry as an organisation. The intelligent backend was actually used as well in the sense of the contact system. At the time, it was to be able to get Symbian phones, go to Symbian working at Mac, to get plugins. But it has to become a whole entire solution. And that's why things like being able to defer over the PDF of your from your phone and be able to email it out to someone to give it a rose wire out there. And they say, oh, this stuff you deal with your phone call and should say, well, okay, you need to use it. You don't need to use it.
Administrative announcement after lunch. We've been moved to room 2, which is down the basement somewhere. Well, it's below bloke here.
Yeah.
So when we resume at whatever it is, 2 o'clock, it'll be down in room 2.
Okay. Just looking at some of the other questions while these guys are working out some stuff.
Bill mentioned that the feature he has there is part of the option for third-party add-ons or plugins. There's been a bit of development within OpenOffice to make that feature much more usable to the public. Originally with 1.0, there was nothing like that. If you wanted to add your own stuff, you pretty much had to compile it into the source code. They've now got packages and the plugin feature they've also made much more reasonable as well. So people now can essentially take their code based on connections with OpenOffice, wrap it up as a package, distribute that, and have it simply just loaded up pretty much like a zip file. You just unzip it and it starts to work once you reload OpenOffice. So that has certainly helped improve commercial support for development of these sorts of plugins. The other question in relation to that was commercial vendors who may be doing stuff like that. It probably depends on what sort of plugin you need. There are people who will do conversions. Even my company has done some conversions, but it's an area that may be a bit fuzzy depending on what you want. If you're looking at Visual Basic support, which I think was mentioned here earlier, Novell has recently finished as in this stage of their project, some of their Visual Basic conversion tools to go with their version of OpenOffice. The thing to remember with Visual Basic is it's tied very heavily quite often to the Microsoft Windows, COM objects and that sort of thing. So again, your mileage may vary there depending on what you actually want to do with that. OpenOffice adoption. How do you get people to use it? That's a much harder question to answer. Some people, once they see how it works, have no issue with using it. Other people are very much set on, if it's not Microsoft Office, I don't want to look at it. Unfortunately, it seems the more you get into government and commercial people, the more they seem to take that sort of view that Microsoft Office has been around for much longer, and therefore it's much safer for us to stay with that, particularly that 90% of people out there are using that in business now already. How you get around that? Probably the simplest way, and as Bill suggested, is to do with standards. So as with the Open Document Fellowship, we don't care whether you use OpenOffice or not. It's whether you use Open Document format, because that's what becomes important. If you can open that document in OpenOffice and in KOffice and Open Document Viewer on the mobile phone or on different platforms, then that's the important part there. So that is also quite important to business and government, as Michael would understand with that as well. If you can sort of get on that level with the particular people that you're trying to convert over, that this is the important part, and give some scenarios, you know, what happens if you send it to a business partner and they don't use Microsoft Office, for example, they can't read your document, what do? Do you send them a copy of Microsoft Office, or, you know, give them the site to download the pirated version, or, you know, what do? So there's some of the issues. Looks like we have a few more questions.
Now, I was just going to mention adoption. I think for many medium-sized organizations, which might not be very urban, it's actually much easier to get a Microsoft certified bloke around to whip up a talk on Word, or actually educate your staff or train your staff, than getting somebody to train a medium-sized organization in OpenOffice.
Are you playing
in development? No. I mentioned earlier that it has been a big argument recently that, you know, essentially there was no point in upgrading to OpenOffice as such, because Microsoft Office was what everyone was familiar with. if you went to OpenOffice, you had all these retraining costs and you know, change management and all that sort of stuff.
It's actually about actually getting somebody if you're not particularly
urban. Yeah. Well, there's certainly people who will come out and do that training. I'm one of them. but
yeah, 600 kilometres inland to Griffith in country New South Wales to do training on site for a head office. We've flown into Newcastle down to our Melbourne office. We've flown into the Yarra Valley to do training. Absolutely. Very good
my
race.
My Microsoft service by flow is just 10 minutes away from into the car and you can pop around. You probably give us a little thought.
That's what I mean. Because the reality is the corporate don't ever try and sell the industry.
Yeah.
Not try and sell the strategy. It's all about data. I'm impressed with what the National Archives are doing. For us, we're a family company. We think long term. You know, it's not what are you doing in 6 months. It's where are you going to be in 5 years? Where are you going to be in 10 years? The idea that you need to own your own data. It's data sovereignty. And if you try and do, if you try and sell it as free, if you try and do it as free, you're making a mistake. It's free as in free speech, and it's just cheap as in cheap beer. It's not free beer.
Another misconception that a lot of people have in regards to that is because it's under a different name, or maybe even under a different operating system, it's totally new, 100%. We don't know how to use it whatsoever. We've done tests before where you've set people in front of it, just your typical, you know, office type people, and they have no issue with it whatsoever. They just say, oh, this looks like what I use every day. The toolbars are very similar. They know where the bold, underlined, all that sort of stuff is. So there's no issue with that. Usually it's more of a mindset. Question?
One thing I will say is that the big issue in terms of open office adoption that I've hit is simply awareness. That a lot of companies just don't know about Open Office. A lot of, you know, Joe Blow computer owners walking down the street don't know about Open Office. And the companies that do know about Open Office or are mildly aware of it don't know about the sort of training organisations or support organisations that exist. One of the things I did, I was going to say late last year, it was actually late year before last, when Microsoft had a big poster campaign promoting the new Office product, was I made up a little black and white sticker about A5 size that just said, get OpenOffice instead, www.openoffice.org, just in black and white. And I went around the area where I work in the eastern suburbs and I stuck these little things across the Microsoft Office posters. Which is, so if anyone was wondering who put those there, it was me. There's no Microsoft,
Microsoft
executive in there. Okay. And that sort of thing has, I'm sure that sort of thing has a response because people don't know that OpenOffice exists. They don't know it's out there. They don't know they can download it for free. And as soon as they think, hang on, Microsoft Office is going to cost me a pile of money, get OpenOffice instead, go and have a look at the website, oh my God, it's free, I'll download it, hey, it works, that raises the awareness. And then they tell their friends about it, and their friends tell their friends about it, and so on.
Yeah. There's a couple of things to go along with that, and I think we've run out of time for this session. We can do it this afternoon, if that's okay. Oh, you won't be here. Oh, well, maybe we can do that quickly, and if people want to stay, they can have a look. Stuart's giving another example of the third-party type add-ins. And he's looking at reports within OpenOffice. So you can, yeah, you can set that up. But as I said, with the issue about people not understanding or knowing about OpenOffice, one of the things that can hinder that is that because it's available freely, it can be sold, it can be relabeled. There's no issues with that. So we find on the mailing list sometimes, and I saw another one this morning, someone has come back and said, hey, we got this software for free, but my credit card just got charged $50. What's going on? And yeah, that's essentially because they bought it through another company under a different name, and a lot of these companies, for support, they simply just give the Open Office mailing list. So it gets very frustrating sometimes. It can dilute the water, but again, if we're focused on standards with ODF rather than the application, then it's not really that much of an issue, because whether they're using it under one name or another, whether it's one application or the other, the format's becoming more and more utilised. So if they get familiar with that one and need to change in the future, one, it'll be much easier. Two, they'll realise it probably doesn't matter as much which one they use. They'll probably go for the one that best suits them cost-wise, efficiency or whatever they base their budget on. So there's some of the things to consider there as well. So I'll hand over to Stuart then.
Just quickly, this project is not mine. We've integrated it into our Java app. We use back-end web app, Java War type stuff, so we use Tomcat and those sort of things. This is an example of an open office document. You've probably seen these before. And you've got your standard word merge style, you know, person first name, person last name, all that sort of stuff embedded in the document. In terms of how this fits in with open office, these are called input fields. This is how the author of this project managed to get this integrated. I'll just show you the name of the project. It's called JWO Reports, JWO Reports, Java Open Office Reports. It's got another utility called JWO Converter. The advantage of JWO Converter is once you've managed to sort of do your OO merge, we'll call it, you can then have it automatically converted back to a Microsoft format if your customers like that, or into PDF, or you can just bring it up in your browser in OpenOffice. So I'll just give you a quick demo of how that works in what we do. So this is like a little letter that we can upload into our back end, if you like. And then in our app here, you'll notice this is basically a big job for a strata plan type mob. And the builder's a guy called Bob. And when we pop here, we get a strata plan letter being blown up. I'm logging out. Hang on a second. Try that again. Here it is. Here's Bob. A big fan of Bob is my son. Here we go. So here's that letter opened up. So you'll see Mr. John Doe with the chap who this job's being done for. And it's popped our file number in there, it's popped John Doe's details, it's dropped Bob the Builder in there. Okay. So effectively you can do what people in the Microsoft world with DCOM and all those sort of fancy things do. On the back end in the Java world, I'll just show you the sort of call. It's a very, very simple call, which is really nice. So in this case, the first part of the call is the template file you're using, so the thing that you put all of your sort of input fields in. The second part of the call is a properties file, so name equals value, name equals value, name equals value, or it's a structured XML file. So the guy has not only conquered the problem of bringing in a flat file, which you do with, say, in Microsoft World with a simple CSV word merge type thing, or even in OpenOffice, but he's also conquered the problem of hierarchies of data. So you might have the first level of the data, and then you might want to have all of the people attached to that, in our case, that business process. And then you might want another hierarchy which shows you all of the events that have happened on that business process. So in your OpenOffice letter, you might want to say, "Dear Fred, here's all the people we've got involved in this gig for you. Fred, John, Julie, Mary. Oh, and here's all the work they've done. Mary did this and John did that and it took 5 hours. So very complex, functionally rich, open office writer type documents are possible using this JWO report. So it's quite useful. It's quite a useful tool, and it's been a big hit with our target market. So, particularly the ability to then, you know, bring it up either and let them, this also lets you fire it up in their web browser, pop it up on their screen, they can change it, okay, and then re-upload it back to our application. Or it might just bring it up in a PDF, which they then attach an email to somebody. That's probably enough for you to know that it's there, and that We've gone through the pain to check out that it actually integrates. It integrates really easily. It was probably about 16 hours max of work to fit into our back end. So that's really not very much. So it's good utility anyway. Works well.